On the line, we have a very special guest. He's by way of New Jersey, so I like him right away. I mean, from New Jersey myself. He's from the northern part of the state, and I'm from the southern part of the state, so no doubt he's probably in the mob. I'll let him address that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He also went to the college up here in Boston at Tufts, and he's now with a law firm in Boston, in New York, rather, being a Columbia Law School graduate. I believe that's from Mr. Obama. He spent some time at Columbia, if I'm not mistaken. But on the line with Gordon Schnell, the topic tonight is sports whistleblowing. Gordon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thanks.
Great. Gordon, without whistleblowers, how many of the Lance Armstrongs of the world, the Oklahoma States, how many of these guys would have gotten away with this stuff forever?
You can just count and count and count. It's been going on forever, and it's going to continue going on forever, but it's not even a finite number. It just keeps happening. What we hear about, I mean, can you imagine how many of these stories are going on that we never hear about?
Yeah. Dan Shaughnessy wrote an article in the Globe about two or three weeks ago, and I read him and Bob Ryan religiously. Dan said, you know all these whistleblowers, how many of these come true? Virtually all of them. The Lance Armstrong thing came out, and nobody wanted to believe it. The Belichick thing came out with the Spygate and stuff, nobody wanted to believe it. I'm telling you, if you heard the conversation I heard with a former player, you'd believe it. The Spygate still going on with the Patriots. I can't even watch those guys. Oklahoma State and Division I football at the college level is just absolutely, it's got to be a legal nightmare, right?
I think there's a problem throughout sports about not having a whistleblower program. And just to talk briefly, what a whistleblower program would do is it would nip a lot of these issues in the bud before they blew out of control into some disaster where people have already been hurt and they're just cleaning up the mess. It would also discourage a lot of this conduct from continuing. And in college sports, it's the biggest issue, because you have these kids that have no one looking out for them. The NCAA pretends to look out for them, but we know what they're really looking out for. It's not the kids' safety. The coaches, some coaches I'm sure are great, but a lot of coaches are more concerned about winning, so they're not really looking out for the kids. And they're really on their own. And they're not going to stand up and speak out when they see something that's going wrong, because then their scholarship's going to be snagged away. So they're really in the most vulnerable situation. And a whistleblower program that would protect people who step up and speak out would prevent them from being retaliated against for that would really go so far, I think, in protecting these kids, which is really what the NCAA is supposed to be doing. And I don't know why they don't have some program in place, especially when you have something like Oklahoma State.
Yep. The
Sports Illustrated expose. And we know that it's not just going on at Oklahoma State. We know it's going on everywhere. And the NCAA is just concerned about finding, you know, a guy who gets a free bag of groceries or penalizing someone who gets $500. They're really going after the wrong thing, and it really boggles my mind why no one's doing more for these kids.
Anyone who hasn't read the Sports Illustrated article, it talks about Oklahoma State and how they bring players in. You get injured, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're back in your hometown in Florida or Texas, wherever you came from. You're working in the car wash. You're probably doing dishes in a restaurant for $2.50 an hour. This one guy had to work 2 hours to get $5 worth of gas to get himself back home again. He was a former Division I running back for Oklahoma State. And Les Miles, the LSU coach now, was at Oklahoma State at the beginning of all this stuff. I guess he hasn't been made to answer for anything, right?
I mean, he's denied any of this conduct. I mean, it was so much. There was the article focused on paying the players, which is no big deal, getting them, passing grades, tutoring them, having people do their exams for them, looking the other way for drugs, even facilitating sexual encounters for recruits. I mean, it's just crazy what you hear about. You know, and the worst part is even the kids that don't get hurt, even the kids that play all 4 years, they're not getting the education that they really hopefully went to college for in the first place. It's such an opportunity for some of these kids. And when sports is number one and academics gets pushed to the side, then after the 4 years, even if they haven't gotten hurt, what do they have at the end of the day? I mean, it's just heart-wrenching hearing some of these stories about some of these players and what's happened to them, injured or not.
Yeah. Speaking of the injury thing, the National Football League, to my way of thinking, has won a big battle getting that player settlement for what I consider to be a very small number. The former players I've talked to don't agree that was a very fair settlement whatsoever. I think they've been covering up this concussion thing and all of the dementia stuff for a long, long time. 1992, Fennett Amalu examined Mike Webster's brain in the autopsy and found the evidence of tau and CTE and all the rest of it, or PTSD, evidence by the tau elements. And obviously, this is a problem. I think they've known about it. They've covered it up. And this doctor, what's his name? Pellman. Elliot Pellman. You know him, Jimmy, right?
Yeah. The doctor from New York?
I saw him on television this week. And they showed him. Is there any evidence that concussions or dementias caused by concussions? He said, no. How about any kind of CTE? He said, no. What about players playing with concussions? It won't hurt them.
You know what? The one thing that got me a little bit upset, when they got that settlement, which I didn't agree with, and nobody I know that played with me agrees with it, all of a sudden you got people on TV going, okay, $750 million divided by the 3,300 guys that have retired since 19th, that's $175,000. I had people call me up congratulating me on getting $175,000 in the league. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm. That money's going to go to lawyers, widows of guys that have passed away to make them feel better. It's not going to go to the people that need it. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And for you to get it, I guess you have to jump through hoops and really fight to file something. So the NFL, again, came out like huge winners on this thing.
And the worst part is that they don't have to now stand up in trial and really explain what happened. And so what happens for the future? Is anything going to change? Yeah. It really is a joke, the $750 million. I totally agree.
Well, why did you guys think the players settled? Gordon, you, I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, what happens in these cases is that you get a big number, you know, $750 million is a lot of money, and you present it to the judge, and if both sides, you know, the lawyers must that were representing the players must have thought it was a fair settlement. You know, you got to question why they thought it was settled, why it was fair. Perhaps they didn't have a good legal case. I don't really know. You know, we all think it's atrocious, but maybe there were some possibilities that the case was going to get dismissed. Who knows why? But it's like a compromise.
But what they could have done is, you know, like the lawyers, so a lot of them, well, $750 million and we're getting X percent, say 25% of this, or we can go back into court and fight for two more years with a chance of losing it. Why don't we talk our clients into settling, and we'll take our $200 million or $40 million or $80 million and go away.
It's certainly possible. I don't know these lawyers. You know, it's possible. There is a judge who has to approve it, so it's not just up to the lawyers, but, you know, that certainly could have swayed them. I don't know. You know, but to bring it back to the whistleblowing, if there were people on the inside who knew what was going on and felt like they could speak about it freely without getting fired, or if they were a player getting kicked off a team, if there were some protections, then it would go. We wouldn't be here. You know, this could have been set. This could have been taken care of 20 years ago when all this stuff first came out. But there's nothing like that in sports, and everyone's afraid, and no one wants to be a whistleblower, particularly in sports, because everyone thinks whistleblowers are snitches and, you know, are cowards, and they're such a bad name. And so all these things keep going and swept under the rug, and you know, there's one disaster after the next.
And the one thing I think about Lance Armstrong, the Mennonite cyclist, Landis. They don't lie. Mennonites don't lie. Quakers don't lie. Shakers don't lie. And then he came out and said, I saw this guy using the drugs. I had every reason in the world to believe it. That Landis over him years before the arrest.
You know how I knew he was cheating? I had the exact same cancer he did, the exact same surgery he did, except for my surgery was worse. We took the exact same chemotherapy drugs for about the exact same time. And I come out of this going, there's no way in the world you could go through that and come back and be a world competitive athlete. He's cheating. I'll bet dollars
seven
and donuts
times.
Again.
Huh? Seven
times. No doubt about it. He's cheating. Unbelievably, no doubt about it. People go, oh, no, he's a great American. I go, no, he's a fraud.
Yeah, we have to take a time out. More with Gordon Snell. Gordon, can you hang out for another minute or two?
Absolutely.
Right back with Gordon Snell from all the way from New York. And he's the firm of Constantine and Cannon down there. Constantine Cannon. We'll be right back with Gordon Snell after this.
And it's everybody we have on cares about the kids.
Speaking of nice people, we have a nice person on the line here all the way from New York, the law firm Constantine Cannon. His name is Gordon Snell. And Gordon, the one thing I keep coming back to, and I need your help on this, is the Chinese have an expression to me, live in interesting times. We certainly are. But the Division I football, and that we've been brought up to believe is the holy grail of football in college, and you go to the big house, go to Notre Dame, see these great pageants and so forth. But the underbelly of this whole thing can be so unseemly sometimes, so sleazy, not to mention the NFL, which is just an extension of Division I football. Where do we draw the line? Where does the whistleblowing step in? And when do we just start paying the players what they should be getting?
Well, you know, the paying the players in college sports is a different issue, and I do think though that has to change. I don't think the schools and the NCAA should get all the money. I mean, I believe that the money should go not necessarily to paying the players, but to setting up some kind of fund to which they can tap into after graduation. Maybe it covers injuries. Maybe it, you know, business development. But with whistleblowing, you know, I come back to the NCAA. You know, what is their mantra? It's really to help the students, to students first, academics first, being an athlete second. They go out of their way to fine players, like I said before, for not fine players, but to punish them for the silliest of reasons. If they really cared about the players, they would set up this simple program, this whistleblower. You know, outside of sports, in the business world, you have all these whistleblower statutes that have recently been passed, the False Claims Act, the Dodd-Frank Act, which set up protections for whistleblowers, actually incents them to step forward by giving them money.
Uh-huh.
Actually financially encouraged, but not in sports. It's the one area left where it hasn't reached. And I'll tell you, you mentioned Floyd Landis before as the whistleblower. He's exactly the wrong kind of whistleblower that we need. I don't even really consider him a whistleblower, even though he's the one associated with it. He waited 15 years to bring this to anyone's attention, and it was only after he himself got caught. That's not really a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Rutgers and the Rutgers story we didn't talk about, but with the coach Mike Rice, who was caught. You guys probably heard about
it. Oh, sure, absolutely.
And there was a whistleblower there, Eric Murdoch, who was one of the assistant coaches who had been fired. You know, and everyone was like, oh, he's a great whistleblower. He's not a good whistleblower either, because it was only after he was fired where he came forward.
Yeah.
And apparently he tried to extort the school first to get some money, and then when they didn't give it to him.
You're not going to have a lot of people that are going to, you're not going to have any players that are going to come forward and be whistleblowers if they ever expect to play again. That's just the way the world works.
A statute would protect that. A statute would, a rule would come out and say, you can't, if you come forward with legitimate information, then you cannot be retaliated against. And if you are retaliated against, then the school or the team or the organization is going to get fined or is going to get in some kind of trouble. That's really half of what whistleblower statutes are.
Well, let's say this. Okay, Sean is playing football for my team. I run a Division I college team here in Massachusetts. Sean comes in. He blows the whistle that some of the alumni are getting some money from guys. They get in trouble. And Sean thinks he can come back on my practice field and not get killed?
From the players?
Yeah, he'll get shunned by every player in the team because they're taking money out of their pocket, and the coaches will rally against him in practice to make him get whacked.
Well, you know, that's the problem. I mean, that may happen initially because there's this mindset about you don't want any snitches on your team. But this is also about an education system. This is about teaching people that this is a good thing, that at the end of the day, this is going to help everyone. It's going to keep the league safer. It's going to make the sport purer. And it's going to make everybody, you know, safer all around. But you're right. That's what's going to happen initially. But this is not something that can really happen overnight. It's a whole process that has to start, and it has to start now.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's going to take some time for it to kind of work its way into the system.
I love when these guys come out after the fact and they say, oh, I'm so sorry. No, not sorry. They're just sorry they got caught. That's all.
Yeah. But no, but that thing you were just saying is – nobody's going to want to say, oh, let me be the first guy to come out and I'll ruin my relationship with my team. Everybody will stop getting the money that they were getting. I'll just throw away my high school career, my college career, because I want to get this thing going and I think it's the right thing to do.
You're picking an issue that, to me, isn't really the big issue. How about at Rutgers when, for years, the coach was, you know, throwing balls at kids' faces, yelling at them, abusing them, calling them, you know, anti-gay slurs and all that? How about when the players are being abused? If someone steps forward, then you think he's going to be treated? Do you think he's going to be treated?
Oh, you should. That situation, they should have just gone to the athletic director or the president of the school and said, "Look, I'm not putting up with this." I would have picked up a ball and thrown it back at him.
That's right. I mean, but then you would have been kicked out of the school. Your scholarship would have been wrenched from you. But if there's a whistleblower protection, then he couldn't do that. So I agree with you. Certain things, you know, I would pick and choose what you blow the whistle on. Getting, you know, blowing the whistle on some of your fellow players getting some under the table payments, to me, isn't necessarily the one that I would think needs to be blown the whistle on. I think it's other things that are more important. You know, shoddy academics, you know, treating these players as if they're just tools and not caring about their education, abusing them, making them play when they're injured. There are very serious issues that I think if someone stepped forward on, I don't think they'd be retaliated against by their players. I think their players would stand up and cheer.
The famous quote in Sports Illustrated, but one of the Ohio State players, and I got to be still there or not, but he came out and said, I ain't got to go to class. I ain't going to be no student. I came here to play football. That was a paraphrase of it. The ink was in there, and you know, double negatives, and it was a mess.
Yeah, the majority of these guys, I mean, I feel like they go to college to play football because they have to, because they can't go to the NFL right away, and basketball, too, for the 2 years. I mean, how like, in reality, how much of them really want an education, or how many of them are waiting until they're allowed to go to the NFL?
Well, you know, when you start talking NFL, there's 30 teams, right? Maybe there's five rookies on each team. That's 150 guys a year. That's three from each state. That's nothing. So a lot of people that have the dreams of going to the NFL, you know, 100 guys show up at camp and three or four stay. So that's kind of a quick dash. It's not something you should set your sights on when you're a freshman in high school. But it's, again, it's a problem with the scouts and the coaches and the agents getting involved. Any agent getting involved with a kid that's in high school or college, that should be a definite whistleblower right there by anybody. You know, just because you agree with me, Howard?
Gordon,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree that that things like that, where the kids are being used for their talents and then thrown away afterward, should be watched out for. So, yeah, if it's an agent who's just looking to kind of get this kid signed when he doesn't have a chance, or to really you know, get him in the door, but really with no hope of him making it, absolutely. But I think, you know, you said before that these kids just go to play ball. Maybe I don't agree that that's the majority. I think the majority of kids think that this is an opportunity to play ball and get an education. And if they don't, and forget about the kids that are going to make the NFL, because I agree, that's like a minuscule number. The lion's share of these Division I players are not going to make it to the NFL, so they should go to the school to play ball and get an education. And if they're not thinking that way, that's part of what I think a coach should be doing. I think the coach shouldn't just be coaching these kids to play the sport. They should be mentors to them in more than one way. And maybe I sound naive, but this system has just come completely backwards. I mean, these are universities. They should be there to get an education and play ball. And if something's getting in the way, then that should be taken care of. And I do think that a whistleblower program eventually would help go a long way in really giving these kids the opportunity that college should be giving them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Gordon, also, I'd have to remind everyone they're listening to WATD 95.9 FM in Marshfield, Massachusetts. And on the line, we have Gordon Snell all the way from New York. This quagmire known as Division I football just gets worse and worse. And yet the alumni will come back. And now, I graduated from a Division I school, and I don't feel any major compulsion to go. I had to send them money. I mean, they're always hitting the alumni out for money. Then I sent a check into Kent State a while back. They asked me if I wanted the money directed to the football program. I said, no. I went to the psychology department. That's where I want the money to go. So people, if you're out there donating to colleges, you can send it to certain departments, so you don't have to get into the football program. But again, if you look at how many people could go to a school these days, like some of the kids that graduated from Duxbury High School last year, they went to the schools in the SEC because of the football program. They're not even players. They just want to go be part of it and go to the game. If you want to see a football game, turn on television.
I have a problem with those guys. I mean, it bothers me when I see guys, I got to go to every Notre Dame game, or I got to go to every Penn State game ever. I got to get there. These kids are this and these kids are that. I'm like, no, they're not. They're kids. I knew a lot of them. I met a lot of first-round draft picks and second-round draft picks, and half of them are just jerks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not as good as they make them out to be football-wise, but once a scout says, you know, we're going to slot you for second round, they'll do hoops and jump through everything to try to protect this kid to validate their job, their authority. You know, I pick Sean in the first round, but he stinks. We've got to send him home. What's that make about me as a recruiter? Yeah. You know?
And a story that was broken, and Gordon, you'll love this. There's a school up here in New England, I won't mention the name, but it runs from UMass. It came out in the Boston Globe this past week that they were talking about how some of the players were putting in that bull in the ring kind of thing, were made to fight each other. Now, I talked to one of the former players this morning. He's going to join us next week on the air. It was in the Globe this week, a full-page article on this, about they were given just in helmets now with boxing gloves, and they would box until one of them was knocked out.
Helmet boxing. I did that in youth hockey.
You did?
Yeah.
Youth hockey?
Youth hockey, we helmet box, too, in the locker room. You throw your gloves on, and then you have the helmet on, and your helmet box. We weren't made to do it, but we did it.
Well, in this case, the entire team surrounds you. You're in the middle, and you fight. Backs against backs, linemen against linemen, and special teams against special teams. It'd be three fights a day, and they do it three or four times a week. Yeah, so this was during the season. Oh, no, that's in the spring season for the football team. Well, now the alumni has gotten wind of this. Now they're running a big write-in campaign that they want to see somebody draw a line in the sand here and get this thing started. And how many colleges where that goes on? Any idea, Gordon?
Oh, I bet it happens so much. I bet it happens everywhere. And, you know, that's a perfect example of if someone spoke up and complained about that, you think he's going to be jeered by his players? You think he's
players don't like it. Now, what do you do on a day-to-day?
That's a perfect example, and it's probably been going on for years, and it's happening all over. And it's, you know, it's just a shame.
Yeah. Now, what do you do on a day-to-day basis as far as you're a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Gordon Snow, and you practice out of New York?
Yep.
And what does your law firm do? What do you do?
I do consumer law, antitrust law, fraud law, whistleblower law. Basically, it's litigation against big companies or an industry is where something wrong is going on. It's screwing the general public or the consumer.
Going to two quick legal points. I heard this past week the National Football League is a non-profit organization. I know. That's my reaction. I laughed.
That's actually legally a
non-profit organization.
That's an actual quote.
Yeah. And what was the other quote I had this week? Oh, this has been making the rounds now, too. But student-athlete is a term invented by the NCAA to not have to pay workman's comp claims.
Yeah, that is true. From everything I've learned, that is true.
Well, NFL is different than the different individual teams. The teams are all out for profit, but I'm sure they all got together and did something with the NFL where we can hide as much as we can in the NFL, and the NFL pays each team. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. So it's, you know, when you get a bunch of 30 of the richest guys in the world and their lawyers against a bunch of college players that just barely graduated college who are stupid enough to have chose players to represent them who have never even gone to law school, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Take one out of my friend Gene Upshaw.
There you go.
They should have hired us.
Absolutely. There you go, Gordon. Absolutely.
They should have hired the biggest, most expensive guy they could find that walked around that people are actually afraid of.
Yeah.
And knows that he's got 1,200. There's 1,200 guys in the NFL. He's got 1,200 clients.
That's Aaron Hernandez. He's in jail.
What's that?
That's Aaron Hernandez, but he's in jail.
Yeah, he's doing it. He's got a good shot at it.
Gordon, thanks so much for your time tonight. We're going to hang on to your number. We'll talk about this down the road a piece, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.